flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You know, right before the break there, I threw out the name Byron Leftwich. Byron Leftwich became a hot name in coaching circles when Tampa won the Super Bowl. Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator in Tampa, probably with the quarterback that's more out of a mold like Jared Goff than any quarterback there is competing for Super Bowls right now. Now, clearly, Jared Goff is not Tom Brady. But if Leftwich had success with a mobile quarterback in Tampa, is there anything that he's got that could give him a chance to say, all right, and maybe the Brady argument is the argument against him too. Oh, big deal. He won a Super Bowl.
He had
Tom Brady as his quarterback. Or is there something to be said for, okay, this is not a mobile quarterback in a league where there's more and more mobile quarterbacks. Byron Leftwich was an offensive coordinator for one that was immobile and probably near the end of his career, probably wasn't playing the best football of his career. Probably was one of the most talented he was in his career. The Leftwich pick might make more sense than it might be more than just a throwaway suggestion.
Well, I'll give you another suggestion. Coach was fired. We heard his name early in the rounds of being interviewed, but I don't think he's going to get a job. What about Mike McCarthy?
Intriguing. Do you know how much, I would be curious as to how much money he is owed, and does he want to wait to be a head coach again? Like, if he has got a Monty Williams kind of payout, this is a bit of an over-exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe
he just wants to sit around and wait to be a head coach.
Maybe, or if he just wants to join up with a team that's Super Bowl ready. Do it for a year and then go into the head coaching cycle next year.
I don't necessarily hate that either. So there are some names out there.
Guy knows the division for sure.
If they do promote from within. All right. So look, the big story today was Brad Holmes meeting with the media and the Pistons win last night. Red Wings are in action tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll talk about that before the show is done. But the Pistons clowned on Atlanta and now have the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference, which is great for a couple of reasons. One is it keeps you out of a play-in round. Two, it keeps you away from aligning with Cleveland or Boston in the second round of the playoffs should you win the first round. Three is Pistons just beat the Knicks in New York. They are the current three seed. There's so much basketball to go. It's a little bit silly to be looking at all this at this time, but to hell with it. It's like we used to beg to be on the graphic. Now we get to talk about possible first-round playoff matchups. The Pistons could get, a lot could go wrong and a lot could go right from here on in, but it is trending in a great direction because they're beating good teams now. And somebody said, it was a throwaway game for Atlanta. Somebody suggested that, and I'm not sure Atlanta would throw away a game when they're hanging on to the last non-play-in playoff spot and just mail it in against a Detroit team that could replace them in that spot.
Well, is it a throw-in game? I have to look back at the roster last night, but was that a throw-in game?
Throwaway game?
Throwaway game for Atlanta in terms of who was playing? I mean, was there load management in this game? I'm looking now. Larry Nance Jr. didn't play. He's got hand surgery, and there were two coaches' decisions, Barlow and Roddy. I mean, they still have their team out there.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a throwaway game when you're actually playing your starters. In the NBA, you know when it's a throwaway game. when Milwaukee sits Giannis or the Lakers sit LeBron, if the Pistons sit Cade, that tells you something else.
Mm-hmm.
But when Trae Young is playing, when Jalen Johnson is playing, it's a different game.
Anyway, good win for Detroit, and they have now, they're hopefully picking up some of the injured, the wounded out here, and that's what a lot of people are in Detroit right now, wounded sports fans. Maybe the Pistons can help just a little bit as they careen towards what we hope is a postseason bid. In the meantime, Brad Holmes today, opening statement, said that he's not going to take any credit away from a great season. Praised his staff, praised the fans. Told the story about the Houston takeover. They had a good friend that couldn't stop talking about how impressive Detroit fans were in Houston. His friend was at the game and basically said, I don't know any other way but to get back to work. So they're back to work. And he used this term in the past, said he wouldn't be a prisoner of the moment. And doesn't, you know, when somebody asked, you know, do you guard against overreacting? And he said, look, I've always talked about not being a prisoner of the moment and doing something extreme. He didn't like give away an entire offseason blueprint. It was very sort of vague. But the one thing he said is he didn't believe there was a quote unquote window. He's not buying into the theory that a team has a window to win the Super Bowl. And later he kind of went into one of the reasons why. It's because he values the draft so much. He just thinks that that's a year every year to restock talent. And he, you know what that says? I'm confident in the way I draft. I'm very confident in the way I draft.
Yeah, it also says that he doesn't like parameters. You know, he doesn't want a label and say, well, with this team, if it's a window, that means that there's an end of when that happens. And why would you want to think that way if you're a GM? You're thinking that you can keep this thing rolling as long as you can. And how do you do that? By hard work and still doing, knowing what you can do with the draft. And every year is going to be different with what you're able to do. But they have built this team so strongly through the draft and added with long-term contracts they've signed over the last year. And they're going to have to throw out some more contracts in the next couple of years. Are they going to be able to? How long can you sustain it?
Well, at some point, somebody, you got to let somebody walk. And I suppose they did that to a degree with Jonah Jackson, right? And they brought in Kevin Zeitler because they wouldn't. That wasn't going to align. He did mention Kirby Joseph, whose contract is something they'd like to lock up. I think he said that's on the docket, I think, was his use of the term, but they want to keep good players here and said he's a all-pro caliber player, so maybe that's their offseason priority. Carlton Davis, again, he was somewhat non-committal, but said he played better in Detroit than he thought he played in Tampa. So, you know, that's a player whose contract is up and they have to decide what they want to do. They did trade for him. Now, it wasn't an all-in F them picks, but he did give up picks. Or was it a pick? I think it was a third round pick. Third round pick, and now he's getting a third round pick back for losing Aaron Glenn. Third round pick this year and a third round pick next year. So again, he didn't spell out the entire offseason, but there was some interesting stuff there. Okay, so here's what we're going to play for you coming up here in a minute. Where do you need to get better? Is one question. He's asked about an F them picks kind of approach, and do you think you can keep this up? Will a quarterback keep playing at this level, even though he's lost the coordinator, Ben Johnson? We'll play all that for you coming up today at 12:16, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1, The Ticket. Hey, research shows that most people give up on their New Year's resolutions right around the middle of January. Don't let that be you. Do something to get remotivated, like get some high-quality workout clothes from Showsome. The name Show Some is all about hustle. Show some hustle, show some work, show some commitment, and you'll see some results. Show Some Athletic Apparel is a Michigan-based athletic company. Performance hoodies, long sleeve and short sleeve t-shirts, leggings for women, clothes that are built to last. Use the discount code Doug at checkout. That's Doug at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. All All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Here we go. Brad Holmes, Lions GM. This morning, we actually carried it live. I know that not everybody can be listening to the station all day long, as much as you might like it. So we're here for you. Let's get to him being asked this morning, where do you need to get better? This is what Brad Holmes had to say. Okay, so a couple things there. One is, I should have added, he was sort of led to, like, his edge rusher position you need. And that's why he started by saying, I don't know who's got five or six effective quarterback, you know, guys who can rush a quarterback. That's why he started that way. You know, it's the reminder every year that they are fully on board with the best player available. Free agency addresses positions. Draft is just talent, 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 hoard talent. And he's made it clear he does not care about positions in the draft.
It is clear. Something else that was interesting is he started to go down the path of, and we doubled down on taking defensive backs, but he stopped and then went back to his comment, which I thought was kind of interesting there. But it's clear that's what they are. Their best player available. If it happens to meet up with the needs of the team as well, from a positional standpoint, then that's great. But that's not how they don't go into the draft looking at that. You know, everybody may say, oh, they have to get a running back. They have to get a running back. And I'm like, well, no, we're going to take who's best here. And if you look at it right now,
interesting example that you use running back, because it's probably the one position that they don't have to get.
Well, right. I'm just, you know, from any team. I guess,
yeah, sure.
You know, for Lions, okay, like they have to get a defensive end. They have to get a defensive end. No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of that helps to get dictated by what you do in free agency and in trades leading into the draft. But it's long-term stuff too, and maybe that's where we need to start looking at better to see possibilities. It's still going to be best player available, but what about long-term goals? You know, 5 years from now, are you going to need this? Maybe that's where they look, and like you're not thinking they're going to take an offensive tackle, and then all of a sudden they take an offensive tackle because they don't have money down in the pipeline, despite having two really good tackles right now.
He did go on to later say that he and Dan Campbell are totally aligned on which players they want to bring in from a player and personnel standpoint. Like they really go out of their way to scout and make sure that they will fit into their locker room. And he and Dan Campbell are completely aligned on that. All right, here's more. The F them picks. Somebody asked him, not using that language exactly, but do you look at giving up, you know, draft capital for veteran players? Here's what Brad Holmes said. Okay, so there's where I think he was kind of balking at the idea that, you know, he loves the draft picks and that's why they've gotten to be so good. And, you know, he didn't say he wouldn't do it. But if you look at what they've done lately, like they traded Carlton Davis. They gave up a third rounder in last year's draft. They got Za'Darius Smith for essentially a fifth round pick, and they converted a sixth into a seventh and gave, like, they got a seventh back and gave up a sixth. So they got a draft pick back, and they've done some of these lesser moves. F them picks is go big. Like that's a go big move.
Yeah.
And they haven't really, like he said, oh, we've acquired veteran players. They've never really done that.
Well, they haven't yet. No. And you know, those players aren't always available either. Now, is that going to change this offseason? If the Raiders decide that they need to, you know, expedite this rebuild, what better way to do it than to trade away a veteran player who's really good and get serious draft capital out of it, or a player perhaps? So would they be open to trading Max Crosby? And if they are, and I think the Raiders should be, their first call should be to the Lions.
So what's interesting about that is when he talked about the trade for Za'Darius Smith, he kind of raised the curtain here a little bit and said, basically the acquisition of the edge rusher was one of the more difficult trades or moves he's ever had to make. And the reason was there are just so few of them available. And, you know, he basically said the pool of players was tiny. It was a handful at best. And that's, you know, how they ended up with Za'Darius Smith. The Max Crosby, like you think about, we talk about Max Crosby and we talked about Khalil Mack and we talked about Myles Garrett and we talked about, And the inherent message I think he sent today was none of those guys were tradable. Like when he, even when he got into depth guys, he told the story about how another GM said to him, yeah, but if we get a guy hurt, you know, we need him. And so it's incredibly difficult to go get those guys. If he becomes available, that's completely different. Do they actually become available?
I love the fact that he lifted the curtain and let people know. Basically, he said these trades aren't as easy as people want them to believe they are. Because I've said this all along. If a team can get into the tournament or has a chance to get into the tournament, they're not giving up on the season. Like, it's not easy to go out there and find a guy because, like you said, Doug, he mentioned, well, if we lose this guy, we have 2 months left in the year. We have plenty of games to play. We can get in this. I can't afford to lose a player, let alone trade him to you, you know? And so when Brad Holmes got on the phone, he found it like crickets out there. It was tough. It's actually, they're lucky to get Za'Darius Smith, it sounds like, to even get someone his caliber.
Well, you got
to
find a team that's willing to give up, right?
Exactly. And teams are willing to give up.
Yeah, and when we got into the trade deadline and we were talking about players, I mean, Za'Darius Smith's name always came up, but there weren't many names that would come up. There were the, oh, please let us, you know, is it possible, dear Lord, that Miles Garrett's available or that Max Crosby available? And they clearly were not available.
Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals.
Trey Hendrickson was another one.
No way they were trading him.
Yeah, as the season wore on, that wasn't going to happen.
Around that time, we were using this term a lot, guardrails. We're trying to put our guardrails so we don't go smashing through and just do these fantasy trades that have no prayer of actually happening and creating unrealistic expectations. And then when I heard him talk today, he was basically saying, I called on a ton of guys. We made the best deal that was out there. There was nothing out there. And that's, you're right, Kang. It's interesting to hear a GM basically say it. Now, some people, I don't care. You still got to find a way. What was it? Give them whatever they want. We're trying to win a Super Bowl now.
Something else he said was a little dig at the NFL, was talking about the trade deadline was earlier and, you know, early in the season. And they don't like that because you want to have more teams that are either in it or out, however you want to phrase it, but you want to have it more defined of what teams are. So the trade deadline should probably be a little bit later in the season. Because if there are too many teams that think that they have a chance, like Cincinnati at that point, that takes Trey Hendrickson off the table.
Yeah, and the NFL wants every fan base to believe they have a chance, as well as the organizations. They all say, just get in the tournament, anything can happen. Look at the Commanders, right? Look at how they're the worst seed, and they're playing for the NFC title this weekend. But a bonus football question for next week I'm going to ask is, honestly, should the NFL get rid of the trade deadline?
And do what?
Make it week 17, right? I don't know. You know what I mean?
You can trade right up to the
end. Yes, uh-huh. Instead, we got Isaiah Thomas.
God, they did have an Isaiah Thomas, didn't they?
It's true.
Did he accrue a stat?
I don't know if he actually
say
got
yes.
a stat.
I'm going to say he did.
You think so?
I think he did.
What is that? Assisted tackle?
Just a stat.
I didn't ask. I wasn't specific.
Okay, I'll
look it up. Kang, do you think he accrued a stat?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I am on the ESPN stat page. Moving, where's defense? I don't see. Oh, that's all postseason.
I'm looking at it all the way down.
Yeah,
here.
He got a stat.
My man.
Yep.
Yeah. Three assists.
Three assists.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Does it add up to 1.5 or is it?
It's just stats, man.
Dude, he also recovered a fumble.
He did. What? He had a fumble recovery.
Oh, that's a big stat.
Yep.
That's a stat.
Everything there else is zeros. But yep. but those are things.
There you go. All right. Can the offense keep it up without Ben Johnson? Will the quarterback play stay the same or even get better without Ben Johnson? Hear what the GM had to say at 12:31 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1. Cater, we got another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up today at 12:48. Bang. There it is.
Okay.
Including one of the most fascinating mashups I have ever seen.
Okay.
Can't wait to get your take on that. 12:48, Are You Gonna Eat That? 248-539-9797, reacting to what Brad Holmes had to say this morning at his news conference. You heard him talk about where they need to get better, and he just said, look, we're going to just keep adding good players. Free agency's coming up. That's when we'll get into the depth chart and the positions. But in the draft, it's just another chance to reload with good players. And I think he looks at it that way and has so much confidence that, he's... Every year he gets to go shopping and just does a better job than everybody else when it comes to shopping. On F them picks, he said, we've shown that we will add veteran players, Za'Darius Smith, Carlton Davis being this year's examples. He has never done the big, here's two first rounders for this massive star. But he also at one point during the press conference today did say, not as many players as available as you think are available. And he really values continuing to populate the roster through the draft. Hence, you don't want to give up those picks. But will Jared Goff be able to keep doing this without Ben Johnson? There's been so much of a mutual love fest between Ben Johnson and Jared Goff. Will it continue with a new offensive coordinator? Here's what Brad Holmes had to say. You know, it's funny, again, the beginning of that, there was a question with something along the lines of, will he take a step back? And that's where he said, I don't think I can say that. He thinks he's getting better. He thinks he's getting better all the time. We're gonna see the experiment play itself out in real time, I guess. How much of the success truly was Ben Johnson? Or is Jared Goff just playing the best football of his career and it doesn't really matter?
Well, the last 3 years, the 4 years with Detroit, he threw 19 touchdowns, 29, then 30, and then his past year, 37. The passing yards went from 3,200 to 4,400 to 4,500 to 4,600. So he has improved. When he first got here, the completion percentage was at 67.2, dropped to 65.1, then up to 67.3. This last year, 72.4. And the quarterback rating went from 91.5 to 99.3 to 97.9 to 111.8. He has absolutely gotten better year by year, with the one exception being a quarterback rating where it went from year two to year three. It went down just a tick, but went up significantly from year three to year four. There's no question he's gotten better. He's comfortable. Will it continue without Ben Johnson? That's the question. That's why they want to make sure that he's got a say in who the next offensive coordinator is. They want to make sure he's absolutely comfortable with the next guy, and they should.
I'm not going to discount that Ben Johnson's departure hurts, okay? I'd feel much better if he were coming back.
Yep.
I keep reminding myself they got the most important thing. They got the players. And obviously we speak to Jared every week. He's our guy. He's awesome. He's fun to talk to. He's fun when he calls us out about certain things that we say or questions we ask. He does a good job of lifting the curtain a little bit and letting us know what it's like to be Jared Goff, to be an NFL quarterback, but it instills a lot of confidence in me in that I think Jared Goff looks in the mirror a ton and talks about what he can do better, and I think it totally is reflected in the way he plays. They're not going to make an incompatible hire. That would be just so incompetent to go out and get somebody who, you know, is a big fan of, you know, the zone read and wants to get Goff on the edge a little bit more. No, gotta go get a guy that understands, and it might be the number one thing. Okay, here's our personnel. What is a play sheet? What are some play calls? What are you trying to accomplish with this personnel? The compatibility with not just Goff, but everybody they have might simply be the number one requirement when it comes to who this offensive coordinator will be.
Do you think that former coaches or current coaches and other teams that want the job, do you think they're calling Dan Campbell and
Brad Holmes? I think so.
I would think so too.
You know, it was funny. At one point, Brad Holmes, they said, well, can you get he got specific about what he's looking for in an offensive coordinator. And he said, well, I'm looking for adaptability. I'm looking for the ability to adjust. And I'm thinking those are the same things, right? Adaptability and the ability to adjust. Kind of same thing.
Very simple.
But here's our personnel offensively. We believe in this group. What do you do with them? And it might be the guy comes in and says, I've studied Ben Johnson. I love these concepts. And so I will keep doing that. And here's a couple things I think we can do better. But it's not going to be an incompatible hire.
Yeah, well, it won't be. And I think it's when I brought up McCarthy's name, the more I bring it up, the more I'm interested or intrigued I get by it. I mean, head coach of the Cowboys, he's faced the Lions a couple years in a row. He knows what it's like to try to prepare for a Detroit Lions offense. And boy, they saw plenty of offense in the game this year. That's a guy that's got some insight to it, you know?
Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Bernard. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bernard.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Bernard.
Can I speak from the heart?
Always.
Okay. I feel this way. I feel the Lions' biggest problem over the years is we never go after that perennial Pro Bowl quarterback. I think we always get a second-tier or B-level quarterback, and then we're always complaining about us not winning. All the other franchises go get perennial Pro Bowl quarterbacks, and that's where it should all start. We've had Pro Bowl running backs, Pro Bowl receivers, Hall of Fame this, Hall of Fame that, but we've never, through the history of the Lions, we've never gone and got that perennial Pro Bowl quarterback. And that's what we're missing. Now, we're hoping Goff is the guy, because people like Goff. He's an easy guy to like. But I think he showed you three different times, because even in the championship game last year, that ball he threw that the guy knew he had to die for. It wasn't in his hands. He had to die for that ball. It wasn't on target. And he went in the Super Bowl and scored a big zip of 3 points for the Rams. And now we want him to come and be our hero. And I think that our focus should change, and we should be looking for that perennial Pro Bowl quarterback instead of all the other pieces around him, because you would have to build him a perfect team for him to win. And it's almost impossible in today's market to build a perfect team.
They scored 31 points on Saturday night and lost.
But Goff is the one that made you lose.
He's part of it. Yeah. He was, for me, the biggest part. However, having a depleted defense, if the defense were, you know, if they had half of those guys on the defense playing that have been out because of injuries, they win the game.
But okay, but how many points do you have to score? I mean, how good does the defense have to play for you to win?
I don't know. They were 15-2. They were 15-2 this season. With no defense for half the season. They were 15-2 with no defense.
He's good for the regular season. He's just not a competition style quarterback.
I don't want to do it again.
He's been to the Pro Bowl twice since he's been here.
But I'm saying, but can you compare him with Burrow? Can you compare him with Josh Allen?
No. I compare him with Burrow. He made the playoffs and Burrow didn't. And he's not. Why would you compare him with Josh? He's not Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Bernard, neither of those two players that you cited either have won a Super Bowl.
But they've been.
So is Goff.
We're just trying to get there.
Goff has been there.
But he lost. He only scored 3 points.
Burrow lost. Didn't they only score 10 points?
I'd rather have Joe Burrow. Goff.
Let me tell you what. You can't have Joe Burrow. You can't have. Just stop for a second. Bernard. You can't have Joe Burrow. You can't have Patrick Mahomes. You can't have Jaden Daniels, and you can't have Lamar Jackson. So there are 28 other quarterbacks, and Jared Goff has done a hell of a job the last two seasons. This team has won 27 games in the last 2 years, including two playoff games. So stop holding the standard up to the elite and look a little bit less and see where that standard needs to be.
But I'm saying the reason we won went to Chicago. He's not here anymore.
All right. If you think that's the reason, then that's a whole other argument. But that's really not what you are arguing. You're arguing that Jared Goff isn't good enough.
Yep.
But now you're going to change it and say, well, the reason they went to Chicago. Look, this offense is going to be interesting to see what they do next season because Ben Johnson's not there. I happen to think they're going to be fine. because the head coach is Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell took over the offense when they relieved Anthony Lynn of his play calling duties. And then when Dan Campbell thought the time was right to hand it over to Ben Johnson, he did. I think Dan Campbell can be a mentor to the next guy. Or maybe they hire from outside the organization and find a guy who steps in right away, and that's the guy. But offensively, that's not where the problems lie with the Lions. This past season of 15-2 and losing in the first round of the divisional playoffs, I think we could say that the quarterback didn't play well in the game, in a playoff game. And we can also say that if they had any defense, they start the game with seven starters on defense from what they had in the beginning of the season. And then two plays into the game defensively, they're without another one, and they're starting their sixth sixth string corner. And you heard Brad Holmes talk about they're on their seventh defensive end.
I will say that if any part of the premise is that the Lions lost the San Francisco game because of Jared Goff, I'm not sure I can have an argument with you beyond that.
Because it's ridiculous.
Jared Goff, the reason they lost the San Francisco playoff game is so far down the list of reasons they lost that game. He's higher up for this game. Didn't have a great game. But ultimately, the problems with this team seem to be so obviously defensive.
Well, and he's not blaming Josh Reynolds for the fourth down drop. He's saying it's Jared Goff. The throw was way offline. Josh Reynolds needs to make that catch.
I think Josh Reynolds will tell you he needs to make that catch. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We're going to push back to, are you going to eat that? 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Chris. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call. Love the show.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, are you familiar with the Jim Collins book, Good to Great?
No.
Not.
Okay. Well, it's a great book. It's a great leadership book. And when what Collins talks about in the book is knowing who you are, what you do, and what you do really well, and focusing in on that. And while the Lions definitely need help on the defensive side of the ball, no one will argue that. What they are is arguably the best offensive team in the league. And they're going to score points, and they have to score points. And to do so, they got to keep Jared Goff clean. Jared's a pocket quarterback. There's no denying that, which means you've got to be very, very solid up front. And if I'm Brad Holmes, I'm looking for the next Penei Sewell to play on the left side, potentially to replace Taylor Decker, who is as well as Taylor's played over the years. I think an upgrade there could really do wonders for this team. And you'd see
Hold on for a second. I mean, I don't know that anybody would turn down, as you described, the next Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell has the potential to be a generational tackle here. Do you think that those are easy to find?
Absolutely not. But I think if you you shoot for the moon, you will end up among the stars. And so best going right, the best offensive tackle available, I guess. If you don't want to make the Sewell comparison,
at 28.
Yeah, no, that's just it, right? So is that going to happen at 28? I don't know. Could it? Sure, it could.
I mean, it could, but I think that's where I fall in line with the F them picks scenario. If you can identify somebody you think is a future Hall of Famer, and you can move up, go ahead and do it. But it's not that easy to do because you got to have a team that's willing to make that deal.
You've got trade capital. You know, you can certainly move up by. How likely is it that the Lions stay at 28? I don't think it is. I think Brad's going to do something to try to find that player that the Jahmyr Gibbs move, right? That was very much in question when it happened, but everybody's looking at it now as what a great draft that was, and I completely agree. So just my take that left tackle's a spot that I think that the Lions could improve on, and I think it's very, very critical to the success of Jared Goff and the team overall.
All right, maybe I shouldn't get caught up on this whole idea of they need to go get the next Penei Sewell, because those guys don't come around every draft. Those guys are hard to find. It's reminiscent of me when people would say, oh, the Lions aren't any better than the Oakland Athletics. They just have Justin Verlander. Yeah, they just have this rare commodity that's extremely difficult to get. And you don't just go get the next Penei Sewell. What you may do, if you are planning long-term, is you take a guy to replace Sewell at right tackle that can be a good to great right tackle. Can you find that guy at 28 and eventually know that you're going to move Sewell to left tackle? That might be, if you want Penei Sewell at left tackle, just put Penei Sewell at left tackle.
Oh, there's that.
And more realistically, get a replacement for him at right tackle.
Well, you know how I feel about the offensive line. That I think you always need to be looking at improving the offensive line. I want it to be elite every year because it sets everything up for what you do offensively. It's hard to be an elite offense if you don't have an elite offensive line. So am I always looking for it? Yep. That's why yesterday we went through the mock draft and we get to 28. I'm like, I don't know who's the best offensive tackle available.
And in that case, it was Ariante Ursare.
So,
the tackle from Minnesota. But I mean, it could be Josh Connerly from Oregon. Like, you could get potentially get a very good starting right tackle from where they're drafting at 28 and move Sewell to left tackle eventually. This would be a draft and stash kind of guy. But I mean, today Brad Holmes raved about Giovanni Manu and Christian Mahogany. But I mean, mostly he said the difference between Giovanni Manu and OTAs and Giovanni Manu at practice at the end of the year is night and day. But, I mean, I shouldn't get wrapped up in the just go get the next Penei Sewell part of this conversation.
Oh, just like the last caller said, you know, just go get a Pro Bowl perennial Pro Bowl quarterback. First of all, you have one. And number two, it's not easy. Every team in the league, you know, like, not every team, but like 26 teams, so 25 teams in the league are looking for that quarterback. That's why there's three or four quarterbacks drafted in the first round every single year, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe I feel like I'm in the minority here. I'm not looking to replace Decker anytime soon. He just signed a 3-year extension. He's only 31. He could play into your late 30s at tackle. I think he's a solid tackle. I think people would be surprised what the drop-off might be compared to other teams. And Penei Sewell, of course, is an all-pro. Ragnow, we talk about his injuries every year. He's only 29, and he actually said at the end this year, this is a healthiest he's felt in a long time, so I think he's going to be okay. Glasgow's play might have dropped off a little bit, but I think Mahogany is a good replacement. I think what you need is depth, you know, but as far as starters, I think Decker and Sewell are going to be there for the next 2-3 years at least.
Yeah, it might be early to invest in a tackle. But nonetheless, back to your phone calls, Dave and Ferndale. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Just calling about Goff and that last couple callers ago just about made me insane. That game Saturday night, two play calls, obviously, that third down in the red zone, putting the ball into his hands for that pass. Also, I mean, some play calling really hurt the Lions' chances, and I can't hang that on Jared Goff.
Well, that same play call results in a touchdown in other games. Like, they've called that play a million times. So I don't have any issue with the play call. The play starts off with the receiver stumbling out of the gate, and it throws rhythm off of everything because they're allowing for a defender to come in because they expect to be a quick hit. Now they can't do the quick hit. Instead, the quick hit comes on the quarterback, and he fumbles it. Is it a bad play call, or is it only a bad play call because it didn't work?
Well, there's both sides of that, but playoff football, a lot of things happen. And when you don't play to your strengths, I can't lay the stuff on Jared Goff. He's a great quarterback for us.
Well, he didn't have a great game. The part of their strength all year was keeping teams off balance, doing things unconventionally.
There it is.
It was praised for 17 games. People say, oh, you don't do that in the playoffs. teams have done stuff like that in the playoffs forever. Philly special was in the playoffs. The onside kick to start the second half by Sean Payton that was in the playoffs. Antoine Randle threw a touchdown pass. Lions wide receiver coach threw a touchdown pass in the playoffs. Mike Vrabel caught a touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. Like these, there's so many examples of these things being used in the playoffs. You know, if you don't, if in fact, isn't it worse if you get away from what got you there and lose?
It is worse. Now, could I see them running the ball on third and one? Of course you can see that. But I defend the decision to throw it because they've done it all season. They put themselves in that situation. It was just a couple weeks ago, I think, that it was a very similar situation, and he threw it for a touchdown. And I think it was on fourth down they did that. So, it didn't work. It worked disastrously, actually. And that was a problem. But I don't fault
you really.
The call.
What you really do if you call a trick play or you do something unconventional in the playoffs and it does not work, you really open yourself up for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Mike is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mike.
Hey, fellas. I love Jared Goff too, Gator. I know you. You know I hear you. You guys. I'm not saying you protect him. He's a good quarterback, but we need a quarterback when that line was being broke down. Any line. It could be an all-pro line. But when that line is breaking down, you need somebody that can skedaddle, get out of there, make a decision with his feet. I used to, when Jared Goff used to wind up and throw the ball, when we had Mitchell in there and Stafford was a gunslinger, we'd be like, uh-oh. But when Goff would wind up and throw the ball, I felt confident during the year. But, man, his feet is killing us. And you know, I know you guys sit there and say he's an all-pro quarterback. Well, my wife could quarterback this team.
No,
and dump it up
stop,
to
stop,
and
stop.
Hand
stop.
It off to Montgomery.
Mike, stop.
You know
stop.
What I'm saying, though.
But she'd be way. No, hold on, though. She wouldn't cost nearly as much under the cap. They could sign more players.
No, don't play into that, please.
Do you know that, like, Jared Goff under pressure this year, I think, was the second best quarterback in the NFL
in terms of
passer rating? Like, no, he's not going to escape a ton of sacks.
He had a bad game on Saturday night. It was a bad game for Jared Goff. And if the caller is mentioning, you know, when the line broke down, you know who else had a bad game than the line? Despite the fact this team had over 500 yards in offense and scored 31 points and committed five turnovers in the game.
So if they're – I feel like we're squinting real hard to find problems with Goff in the offense when their defense couldn't stop anybody. What are we doing? They average the most points a game of any team in the NFL. I think they were second in total offense. Their quarterback has a monster quarterback rating, and we're getting into the nuance of everything he does wrong and they do wrong offensively. Their defense couldn't stop a runny nose.
Are these callers real? What stage of grief is this? Like 18? We start blaming the Pro Bowl quarterback who led him to the most wins in franchise history?
97.1 The Ticket.